Hey everybody, it's Kylie Gable from Candy Apple Press. Welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir. And so a couple things. One, I just caught myself doing something I never do. I just listened to about 20 minutes of the audio. I wrote the vast majority of these audios, and I go through the audios and I heard them, but you know, I hear them before the podcast, so I still wanted to hear more. Faith just does such a great job on this. If you are on Night Flirt, you can find her at British Girl. And she's pretty amazing. We even talked about doing some co-writing because I have the Jaguar, which is a feminization superhero. And she has another character, I think it's Cerebella, who is a femdom villain. So what a great combination and what a great way for us to work together again. So I'm looking forward to that, if that comes to pass. The other thing I want to tell you is, I actually did already have a recording of this story made in 2019. I cannot play it myself, and so I can't actually see who was the person who recorded it. It's never been on either podcast, as far as I can tell. If I'm wrong, please let me know. But I'm going to put this one up on Clips for Sale and Night Flirt. But I swear, I don't think I have another version of this on either podcast, even though I do have, I've had it for sale since like 2019 on Clips for Sale. So anyway, without further ado, here is the second part of The Operator, written by me a long time ago, and narrated by Faith O'Shea.
Bob rushed out of the store, or at least moved as fast as his delicate heels could carry him. Immediately he drew the laughs and stares of a large number of shoppers. Oh, the clicking of the heels on the cobblestone mall, why, it alerted people to his presence. In his panic, Bob had yet to roll down his pants leg, which only made his appearance that much more comical. It was past 9:30. Buying the shoes had taken much longer than he thought it would. He didn't know where to go next, but he knew that he needed to get two bras and two dresses in a hurry. He remembered shopping at a store with a girlfriend about 5 or 6 years ago, where the store had both lingerie and dresses. Unfortunately, that was the last time Bob had bought women's clothing. Oh, it was also the last time that Bob had had a girlfriend. He had no idea what size he was, so he used his smartphone to find standard women's clothing sizes in a chart. He figured with his 30-inch waist and a slender build, he might be a size 12. He also figured he'd need at least a 36C bra. With a little luck on his side and not being too picky about styles, he grabbed a fairly simple little black dress as well as a short red dress. Well, these were the first two racks he saw. Unfortunately, had he looked closer, he would have noticed just how short that red mini dress was. He was done buying his clothing by 9:45. By now, he had rolled down his pants, but he was still getting laughs and stares from shoppers and salesgirls alike. Right before he went to the counter, he heard a woof whistle from behind him. He turned and saw a brunette girl smile and wave as she mockingly blew him a kiss. He was tempted to say something, but the cashier was now ringing him up. He endured the humiliation and was done with nearly 15 minutes to spare. Walking over to his makeup appointment, he came upon a cinnamon roll stand, and standing in line were the three girls who had taken his shoes. The girls were just finishing their purchase and walking off in the opposite direction from where Bob was. Picking up his pace, Bob lunged forward and grabbed Ashley's right shoulder with his hand. "Oh, I've got you now, bitch. Where the hell are my shoes?" he demanded. "Hey, slow down, you perv. You let go of me before I scream, she replied icily. Give me the shoes, he barked. I yell, and security comes. I tell them that this pervert in high heels tried to grab me, and you tell me how that's going to go for you. Bob shook his head in resignation. He released Ashley and took a step backwards. Look, can I please just have my shoes back? I'm sorry. What do you think, girls? She asked her friends. I don't know. I don't like having pervert faggots grabbing me or my friends, replied the willowy blonde next to her. Ellen's right. That useless cock-sucking whore needs to learn some manners, insisted the dark-skinned girl wearing glasses. Her name was Nika, and she was just as determined to see him suffer as the other two. I'm not... Bob was cut off by Ashley, who raised a finger in warning. If you want to get your shoes back, and you don't want us screaming our heads off, I suggest you come with us. The girls took Bob to a trendy teen clothing store. Dance music pulsed from the store's speakers, and immediately Bob felt too old to be in the store. Nika, why didn't you find him a top? Suggested Ashley. Ellen, go find him some shorts. I need to talk to Linda. Ashley made her way over to a woman in her mid-20s with jet black hair and an armful of rubber bracelets. Hey, Linda, I need a favor. Well, I'll help you all I can, Ash. What do you need? Well, our friend here, you know, he wants to go from drab to fab. Do you mind if he uses the dressing rooms to change? I mean, he'll just wear home whatever he tries on. Please? Oh, she begged. Sure, they're private enough, I guess. I'll unlock the Betty Boop dressing room for you. Oh, thanks, Linda, beamed Ashley as Linda went to open the dressing room for Bob. Now, wait a minute, demanded Bob. I'm not wearing girls' clothes out of here. Well, your choice, of course, slut. But you're either leaving here in the clothes we give you, or you're leaving here in handcuffs when I start screaming. Oh, you wouldn't dare. Try me. Bob knew he didn't have a choice. He was contemplating what to do when Nika returned and pushed a turquoise peasant blouse with yellow flowers into his arms. He looked down in embarrassment. Ellen soon followed, handing him a pair of hot pink spandex short shorts and a wide black belt. I can't, Bob said, his voice trailing off at the end. What are you waiting for, cum guzzler? Asked Ellen. We've been very patient. Come on, put that on and we'll give you your shoes back, promised Ashley. Warily, Bob walked to the dressing room. He saw why they called it the Betty Boop room, as there was a picture of the character right on the door. Bob had almost forgotten that he was wearing the heels despite the pain in his feet, until he heard more laughter from other shoppers behind him. It was a foregone conclusion that he would look ridiculous in the clothes the girls picked out, so he resigned himself not to look in any of the mirrors. The top fit him easily enough, but he really had to struggle to step into those tight spandex shorts. He had no idea how to wear the black belt, so he just carried it with him. As soon as Bob stepped out of the dressing room, he regretted it. The girls began cheering and catcalling as soon as he emerged, which only drew more attention to his plight. Linda shook his head and smirked at the side. Well, the shop was pretty liberal and had prided itself on accepting people of all genders and types. However, the sight of the man, uncomfortable, wearing the ridiculous outfit that the girls had put him in, carrying his original clothes in his arms, it was pretty funny. Ashley stepped up to Bob and fastened the wide black belt around his waist. This caused the long blouse to flare out a bit and almost look like a very short dress. Ashamed, Bob waited for Ashley to tell him what to do next.
I talked to the manager. She'll let you wear everything out of the store.
Ashley escorted Bob to the cash register and grabbed a pair of scissors from the employee's side so that she could cut the tags and hand them to Linda to ring up. As Bob reached into his pants he was carrying for his wallet, Nika shook her head.
That will never do. Add this one to the bill.
She handed Linda a pink and black tote bag with the appearance of a very large purse. Bob handed Linda his credit card as Ashley began to fill up his new bag with his clothes. True to her word, she did put his gym shoes inside. Unfortunately for Bob, the girls had tied about 60 knots in each shoelace, meaning that he'd have to just cut off the shoelace. Well, he didn't have time to do that, and with shorts and blouse, well, it really didn't matter anymore anyway. Bob took his purchases and began to make his way towards his appointment at the makeup counter. The mall clock showed that it was already 10:05, and with the heels on, well, he couldn't move particularly fast. Ellen hurried up to him and tapped him on the shoulder.
Oh, you're carrying the bag of yours all wrong.
Bob looked at her with exasperation clearly written on his face.
How do you want me to hold it?
He sighed.
Here, crook your arm out and let your hand just hang loose. Then put the handle over your elbow, she offered helpfully.
Bob knew she was trying to make him look even more like a limp-wristed sissy. Well, he thanked her anyway and did as she told him to. The girls followed him all the way to the department store, staying about 10 feet behind him so they could enjoy the many stares and laughs that he was getting. When he finally arrived at the makeup counter, he was relieved to find that there was no one sitting in the makeup chair. He saw a woman behind the counter and rushed over to her as his entourage looked on in bemusement.
Hi, I have a 10 o'clock appointment, he squeaked. Oh, yes, your wife told me that you were getting in touch with your feminine side. Oh, that's a gorgeous bag. I'm Janine, beamed the tall brunette behind the makeup counter.
She immediately tried to make him comfortable as she began dabbing foundation on his face.
This is sort of a public spot, isn't it?
Well, yes it is, Bob. I wish I could offer you a bit more privacy, but you are already dressed so cute. I bet when I get halfway done with your makeup, nobody will notice that you're not just another pretty young girl getting her makeup done. Well, I bet if we get your hair out of that ponytail, well, it would help too, she insisted. Bob appreciated her gentle demeanor, and though he was worried she'd blind him when she applied his eyeliner, he simply sat back and allowed the inevitable to happen. With the girls watching on and taking pictures of his progress, Bob tried to relax.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Candy Apple Press writer and occasional narrator, Victoria Vaughn. Our last ad for the premium podcast was a bit hard sell because we were very worried that Spotify could be pulling the plug on the free podcast very soon. A few months later, and it doesn't seem nearly as imminent a threat. So why should you subscribe to the premium podcast? First, we have about 55 hours of audios all available for the monthly price of $15. If you only heard the free versions, you're missing a bunch of short audios and some of the best parts of audios you have heard. Of course, there's new audios added every week. Even better, the subscription appears as payment to Spotify, so nobody has to know what it's for. If you can't afford it right now, we hope you'll continue to enjoy the free version. But if you do have the means, we don't think you'll be disappointed.
There's a link in the description to sign up for the premium, or just Google Premium Feminization Boudoir Podcast.
And just as Janine had promised, the shoppers entering the mall barely paid any attention to him, and those that did tended to be guys checking out his long, smooth legs. Voila, she smiled, holding a mirror up to Bob. Well, he had to admit, she had done a great job. He did look much more feminine, much more female. He wouldn't win a beauty contest, but at least he was capable of walking down a crowded street without people reading him. Oh, thank you, Janine. You did a great job. Oh, you're welcome. Well, your wife said that you take all the products I used, so I bagged them all up for you, she said, motioning to a white, large bag on the counter. Bob paid for his purchases again. This had turned into a very expensive afternoon. As he hurried to his car, the girls caught up to him. Very nice, Bob. Well, you look like a new man. Or is that a new woman? I really need to be getting home, he insisted. Oh, you have a hot date, joked Nika. No, I just really need to make a phone call, he replied. Hey, well, we'll be sure to stop and say hi next time we're in your store. Ashley giggled. What? He choked. Well, yeah. You kicked us out once because you said your store isn't a library, explained Ellen. Oh, I am sorry, girls. It won't happen again, he promised. Well, next time we'll have some pictures to show everybody. The girls headed back inside the store, leaving Bob devastated. As Bob relayed his humiliating experience to Mistress Corlette, she responded with laughter rather than sympathy. Oh my God! And what did they do next? Well, they took me into a store and I had to buy a top and a purse, a belt, shorts, he replied meekly. Hey, well, you didn't model those for me like you did the dresses. Well, I want to see them. Oh, insisted Corlette, still laughing. Yes, mistress, sighed Bob. Oh, cheer up. You've earned some time off tonight. And tomorrow, you can even go into the shop. But at closing time, you come right back home and put on your new clothes and then call me. Do you understand? I do, mistress, he acknowledged. When you're home, I want you to keep the heels on, so that way you get practice walking in them. Also, try out your new makeup and document how you do with it with pictures. There are plenty of videos online to help you, but I want to see the progress. Yes, Mistress Corlette, I'll try. Oh, you'll do better than trying. I want to see results, slut. Bob was able to put in a full morning at work. He liked to be there at least some nights to put in an appearance, but that was when his younger employees with the more effervescent personalities shined. He was more important when it was time to place orders and manage inventory. His employees left him alone this morning, which was how he preferred it for the time being. His social anxiety wasn't helped at all by knowing how feminized he was under that drab, normal clothing. After Bob arrived home, he slipped into his new black dress and his sandals. With his bra, panties, and hosiery on, he felt very feminine, even if he wasn't exactly passable. He debated whether Mistress Corlette had wanted him to put on his makeup too, but decided it was better to be safe than sorry. Bob dialed her number with great trepidation. Somehow, the clothes made him feel even more vulnerable and excited, but also more nervous. "Hello, Mistress. It's Bob," he announced when the recording told him to introduce himself. "Well, hello," she purred. "I've been thinking, and I don't like the name Bob. I tried Barbie, but that didn't really suit you either. I think we're going to go with Barbie. Tell me you're my Barbie, sissy." "I'm your Barbie, Mistress Corlette," he repeated, his face flushed from embarrassment. "So, what are you wearing, Barbie?" I have on my new black dress and my sandals. I put my new black bra and black panties on, and the pantyhose I had." Oh, that sounds delicious, Barbie. I bet you turn all the boys' heads." "Oh, thank you, Mistress Corlette. I've been thinking, Barbie, we need to do some more shopping tonight." But Mistress, I just went on a big shopping spree yesterday," he pleaded. "Oh, I know. But girls love to shop." "What do I need now?" he whimpered. "It's time for your very first butt plug and dildo. Now, you're going to want to start off with the smallest plug they have. But the dildo can be any size. Actually, make sure the dildo is big and in a realistic flesh tone with a suction cup." "Well, they should have something like that." "Well, when do I need to try it by?" "Well, tonight, sissy. And besides that, you get to take me with you. I want you to leave the phone on. You can take it in your new bag." I can't go out right now. I'm wearing a dress and makeup." "Oh, I see your point. I tell you what. Keep on the undies, but you can take off 2 out of 3 between the dress, heels, and makeup. But you only have to leave on 1 of those. "Not a chance," he barked. "Watch your tone with me. Now you're down to having to keep on 2 out of 3. I'll lose the dress," he replied as tears began welling in his eyes. "Call me back in 25 minutes. According to my map, the closest sex shop to you is Erotic Playground. I'm sure they'll have what you need. Now get going." Bob stripped off his dress and put on the jeans and sweatshirt that he had been wearing earlier in the day. He felt ridiculous driving in heels and makeup yet again. His bag lay on the seat next to him. When he reached the parking lot, he dialed Corlette again. I'm here, Mistress." "Good. I'll leave the phone on, and you want a nice, juicy dildo. In fact, use those words. You want a butt plug and some lubricant, and make sure the plug is the smallest they have, I don't want you to hurt yourself. Bob put the phone in his bag and hesitantly walked across the parking lot to the store. His heels made quite a racket as they met the blacktop. Finally, he took a deep breath and pushed the front door open. But there were a half dozen customers already shopping, and two women behind the counter. One of the women had short black dyed hair and a nose ring. Her arms were covered in tattoos, and she looked tough. The other woman was more pleasant-looking. She wore a tight white latex dress and was wearing a purple wig. Bob paced around the store nervously until he found the dildos and butt plugs. Oh, he felt so ashamed as he picked up a black dildo from the display. Looking it over, he ultimately rejected it because it didn't have a suction cup. "Can I help you?" asked a voice from behind him. It was the woman in the purple wig. Yes, he whispered. I'm looking for a juicy dildo and a small butt plug. Oh, we've got plenty of both. She smiled, looking over him curiously. Well, the dildo needs to be flesh-coloured and have a suction cup, he stammered. Wait, I know you. Oh, no, I'm sure you don't. I'll just make my purchases and you can help somebody else. No, you're the guy from the drugstore. She beamed, but he looked puzzled. You bought pantyhose and lipstick. Well, I told you to buy the woman's razor, remember? She asked as she removed the purple wig to reveal her blonde hair beneath. Oh, right, I remember. It's Lauren, right? That's me. I needed to take a second job, so I'm working days at the drugstore. I imagine it's quite a bit different working here. Not really. You'd be surprised, she smiled. So, let's get you a big juicy dildo. Okay, Bob replied glumly. Mouth or arse? She asked. What? Wait, is it going in your mouth or your arse? Well, actually, I suppose it's probably both, right? Bob sheepishly nodded his head. Oh, now this one is very popular. It's 9 inches long, and it has very realistic balls and a suction cup, so you can stick it on a wall or any flat surface, really. I'm not gay, he declared. What did your girlfriend send you for one of these also? No, I just need one. I think that the 9-inch would be fine. Great. Well, now let's find you a butt plug. You said you wanted a small one. Yes, the tiniest you have, really, he answered nervously. Well, I know that we have a 4-inch model. She showed him the box, and he nervously nodded that was what he wanted. Now, do you need some lube for the plug? Oh, that's right, I do, he answered nervously. Oh, it's a shame I have to work tonight, or I get my strap on and we can have some fun. She laughed, but Bob turned beet red. I think that's everything, he squeaked. Oh, you're cute. What's your name, anyway? Barbie? He stuttered, remembering Mistress Colette was listening in. Well, Bob Barbie, don't be so uptight. You seem like fun, and I bet you look adorable at the end of your mistress's leash.
There's so much I love there. I love her, how wonderful Faith is reading this. I had a weird coincidence. First off, I didn't realize how long this audio was, as I mentioned last week. So it became two parts. And I was originally going to have Pamela reading the second part of Beautifying the Boss this week. Well, she emailed me. She has a cold. And so she was not going to be able to get me that story this week, which was fine because I was kind of going to push her back till next week because of the story that I had from Faith. So that worked out beautifully. And in fact, I think next week will probably be Mistress DJ followed by Pamela. Also, I really like my story. I wrote it a while back, but I just love how everything kind of ties up neatly in a package, but it's not real fake. There's not a relationship between the operator and the guy, but she kind of plays matchmaker. So, anyway, I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you're enjoying the podcast in general. Your support means so much to me. Anyway, I will be back next week. I hope you will be too.